Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands to Jesus one more time? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It is my honor, privilege. I apologize. The chord chart was wrong. It's their fault, not mine. No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. But it was a good recovery. Thank you so much. It is my honor to be here with our longtime friends, Brother Sister Arthur. Amen, Brother Kevin Arthur. We shared pictures just recently of our days in Hong Kong, and when I was skinny and he was young, and he hadn't changed much. Anyway, hallelujah. And I'll just leave it at that. And of course, we give that honor to Brother and Sister Arthur. We love y'all, my family. We go back a long, long ways. I think I said that last time, but amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, would somebody smile? I can't see the smiles, but smile anyway. There you go. I like it. It's all right. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do today and follow the Lord and see what the Lord had. But I have something I'm going to preach. But let me sing. I may sing one or two songs this morning if I can get the soundtrack. Let's try it this way. That way I have the words in front of me. Would you just, somebody shout hallelujah one time. Amen. I'll sing a good old Southern gospel. If that's all right with y'all, give me some monitor if you don't mind. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus never opened his mouth. From the trial to the crucifixion, to the grave he was laid out. 3 days in the garden tomb, I can hear the angels sing. As the lamb came forth, as the lion, and the lion became the king. You won't find him again at the whipping post, standing there so meek. And he won't be nailed to the rugged cross, through his hands and through his feet. No, there'll never be another Calvary, cause he don't have to prove one thing. Today the lamb became the lion, and the lion became the king. Hallelujah. I'm glad he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Jesus left this splendor to live on earth with man, by most he was rejected because he came forth as the lamb. Oh, but the day is soon approaching. Every eye shall see the lamb, and the lion of Judah has been crowned the King of Kings. You won't find him again at the whipping post, standing there so meek. And he won't be nailed to the rugged cross, through his hands and through his feet. No, there'll never be another Calvary, cause he don't have to prove one thing. The day the lamb became the lion, and the lion became the king. You won't find him again at the whipping post, standing there so meek. And he won't be nailed to the rugged cross, through his hands and through his feet. No, there'll never be another Calvary, cause he don't have to prove one thing. Today the lamb became the lion, and the lion became the king. Today the lamb became the lion, and the lion became the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would somebody shout amen? Amen, amen, amen. Clap your hands to Jesus one more time. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. He's a mighty God. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord that he is. I'm just glad to serve him. Amen. You may be seated again. I'll sing a couple of more tonight. And just give my voice a little time to warm up. I'm trying here. This goes way back. There's a light in the window, and the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see the crystal river. Oh, I must be near forever, Lord. I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my Father stand. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Hallelujah. Come on, it's winding up, folks. I can see the family gather, sweet faces all familiar. No one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my Father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my Father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Hallelujah. Come on, would you stand to your feet? Would you stand to your feet and clap your hands to Jesus one more time? Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, it is my high honor to be with you all today. And I just believe the Lord's going to do something wonderful today and tonight. I do have a definite direction from the Lord. And I'm just going to give it my best here today. Is that all right with y'all? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to preach to you from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I will begin reading at verse number 6. There was a Walmart super center. There was a woman. She saw a grandfather and his poorly behaved grandchild, 3-year-old grandson, and the man kept saying, "Easy, William," and he was really calm, and it won't be long. And the little grandkid kept screaming and hollering, "I want this, I want that toy, I want this." And finally, the whole time the grandfather's saying, "Easy, William, it won't be long, it won't be long." And they're getting in line. "Candy, I want candy. Give me some candy." He says, "William, it's okay. It won't be long now." A lady sees the man and his grandson, and she says, "Sir, I want you to know how impressed I am. You're an amazing grandfather. You've kept your composure no matter how loud William got, or how loud he got. And William is lucky to have you for a grandfather." "Thanks," said the grandfather, "but I'm William, and that little twerp is Kevin." I don't even know. Anyway, oh goodness, I've got to stop that. It's just, I should have changed the name or something. Sister Arthur, you'll have fun with that for a long time now, won't you? That he got up and called the pastor a twerp. I wasn't referring to him. I was. Come on, y'all, smile. Let your eyes smile or something. Amen. Amen. The book of Isaiah chapter. I cannot believe I just did that again. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 6. I probably should just turn, give the mic up and walk away. But seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto him. And to our God he will do abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. And for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth the bud, and it shall give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees and all the fields shall clap their hand. Instead, the thorn shall come up from the fir tree. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall, are y'all getting a picture of what's happening right here? Everything seems to be chaotic. Everything seems to be in chaos. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, let therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the things in dark, hidden things in darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. I want to preach to you for a few moments today on the subject, the King of Chaos. The King of Chaos. Would you put your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven, and let's talk to the Lord for a few moments. God, we thank you. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for knowing who we are. We thank you, God, for touching our lives and our minds and our hearts. God, thank you for the direction. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. You've kept us. You've kept your hand upon us. And we give you the honor. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. And everyone said in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Clap your hands again as you are seated. Hallelujah. I don't do the clapping of the hands as a being redundant or just to fill time, but I believe that when we clap our hands, we're signifying approval. And they do that at football games and sports games and all that kind of stuff. And I believe that we give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Now, the way I like to work it is just say amen every once in a while. And we don't have to get the paddles and do the heart thing and all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to try to make it give it to you as I feel like the Lord has given it to me. The word chaos, the King of Chaos, I began to study it, began to look at it, and the Lord gave this to me concerning where we are at in life. I'm going to talk about the elephant in the room, obviously, but also there is more to it than just what's going on in our world. In our world, there is chaos. Hello, can I say it again? This world is in chaos. The Bible says whenever they start calling for peace and peace, then sudden destruction. I hear people even calling peace now. Everybody's excited about what's going on overseas, the Middle East, and I won't get into that. But chaos is the study, it's the theory that studies the behavior of dynamical systems that are highly sensitive to the initial conditions. And it's a response popularly referred to as the butterfly effect. How many have ever heard of the butterfly effect? The butterfly effect is and means, it says that a butterfly in China could flap its wings and it would change the weather pattern around the world because its initial condition changes everything from there forward. Now, I used to think that was just a bunch of baloney. And that the butterfly effect that was just crazy thinking and theoretical, stuff that people were that smart trying to think of. But since this virus hit and it originated over there, I'm kind of agreeing with it a little bit more. Come on, smile. Help me just a little bit. Let your eyes smile. I really am, I lived over in Hong Kong. Pastor Arthur and Brother and Sister Arthur Bishop, we've lived over there before, so I'm certainly not being disparagingly when I say that. But there was a man by the name of Lawrence. He was a mathematician and he was a meteorologist. And he wrote an article about the dynamic systems. And he said, at one point I decided, he was working on some numbers for some weather patterns and how those weather patterns were affected. And he was using the numbers as a mathematician. And he said, at one point I decided to repeat some of the computations in order to examine what was happening in greater detail of weather patterns. He said, I stopped the computer and I typed in a line of numbers that had printed out a while earlier and I set it running again. I went down the hall for a cup of coffee. He was talking about weather patterns and how they were affected over the last several years. And he said, I went down the hall for a cup of coffee and I returned after about an hour. During that time, the computer had simulated about 2 months of weather. The numbers being printed were nothing like the old ones. I immediately suspected a weak vacuum tube or some other computer trouble, which was not uncommon. But before calling for service, I decided to see where the mistake was and how it had occurred. And knowing that I could speed up the process and of servicing instead of a sudden break, I found that the new values at first repeated the old ones. But soon afterward, they differed by one and then by several units in the last decimal place. Then they began to change in the next to the last place, and then the place before that. In fact, the differences more or less steadily doubled in size every 4 days or so until all resemblance with the original output disappeared somewhere in the second month. He said, this was enough to tell me that the numbers that I had typed in were not exactly the original numbers, but they were rounded off values that had appeared in the original printout. In other words, the problem is that the problem dominated the solution. Y'all following me? That the problem dominated where the solution was at. In other words, if you take your checkbook every day, and at the end of the day, you write in where you used your debit card or when you write a check, if you round those numbers up, you're going to be pretty happy at the end of the month because you're going to have a little bit more money than you would normally have. But if you round it down, you're going to have a problem somewhere along the line. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the elephant in the room is this pandemic. Is that we have gotten to the place that the problem has dominated more than the solution has. We have concerned ourselves more about the problem than we have the solution. Now, please do not misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand me. The mask and all that kind of stuff, that's all fine and good. I have preached all around America. Some do, some don't. It does not matter. I have no problem with it. But I cannot get so stuck in the problem that I'm facing that I forget about who's in control of all of it. Hello? Come on, we get into this thing where there's so much problem around me. Well, quit worrying about the problem around me and worry about who's on the inside. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I'm not minimizing this. Please don't misunderstand me. I've had COVID myself. I know what it's like. I lost my father-in-law to this sickness. I understand all that. I'm not trying to minimize it. But what I'm saying is that He is the King of chaos. Come on. Before the kings of comedy, He was the King of kings. And He's still the Lord of lords. He is still in charge of everything. Come on, somebody hear me. That He is in charge of all of it. And there is a purpose that God has planned. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody in this place today. There is a purpose that God did not send it along. It does not come from God. Hello, don't get quiet on me now. It didn't come from God, but God said, I'm going to use what the enemy meant for evil, and I'm going to turn it to good. I want somebody to hear me in this place. He is the King of chaos. And so I'm going to say, God, in the middle of my chaos, I'm going to let you reign supreme. I'm not going to worry about you, all of this stuff. I'm gonna focus upon you because you are in charge of it. Hallelujah. There cannot be pain without purpose. In our lives, there cannot be pain and not have a purpose along with it. You have a child, there is pain, but there's going to be purpose in the pain. You see, there was a man by the name of Isaac, entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah because she was barren. And the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? Genesis 25. She went in to inquire of the Lord. Our problem is, let me just pause right here. I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost how I feel this morning. But she inquired of the Lord. Our problem is we just pray all the time. There's a difference between praying and inquiring. Praying is basically talking to God and saying, God, I wish you would do this, or God, I wish you would do that. But when we inquire of the Lord, we say, God, how would you like for me to handle? God, what is you? Come on. I know it's a Sunday morning, but listen, this is the last Sunday of the year of 2020. Thank the Lord. I'm going to stay up New Year's Eve. I'm going to stay up to make sure 2020's gone. I'm not worried about 2021. It's going to come. I just want to make sure 2020's gone. Come on. It's been chaos, but it does not affect my relationship with God and does not affect how I serve God. Come on. Hallelujah. God, I'm going to inquire, how should I handle this? Is this really chaos? Absolutely. There's discomfort. There's pain. There may be trouble. There may be mess. There may be unspeakable, unexplainable, unimaginable things that strategically position in what looks like negative circumstances. But what looks like chaos to us is the purpose of God, and He's going to harness it for His purpose. Come on, I can guarantee you there's not one thing that crosses the desk of God that He does not say, I'm going to use it for my glory. I'm going to use it for my purpose. Yes, even COVID-19, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God, come on, I've got to remember that God is in control of it. I cannot worry about 2020. It's gone. It's done. I cannot relive it. But I can say 2021, God, I'm going to go with You. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to follow after You. And come on, I'm going to have the greatest revival that I've ever seen in Richmond. Come on, I want some people to help me here today. Come on, we need to have the biggest revival you have ever seen. It's not just coming to church two or three times a week. That's not a revival. Revival is when you come to the house of God, but you drag somebody or pay somebody or get somebody in the house of God with you and see God change their life. That is the will of God. That is the purpose of God. And so, God, take my chaos and turn it around for Your glory. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Men can harness an elephant and use the mighty beast for all sorts of things, labor to entertainment. And God is able to harness the beast of chaos and make it do His bidding. I'm come to tell you that no matter what has happened in our nation and around the world, that God said, I am going to show signs, wonders, and miracles. Ladies and gentlemen, all through the Old Testament, even into the New Testament church, every time there was chaos, God followed up with provision and followed it up with the signs, wonders, and miracles. So I am expecting whenever all of this stuff starts dying down, then God steps on the scene in a greater way. And He said, I'm going to give you the greatest things that you've desired. Come on, some of you senior saints have prayed for it. Our parents have prayed for it. Our parents have fasted for it. Our parents have desired to have revival. And now it is the time for us to seize it. And in the middle of chaos, I am not going to get stuck in the middle of all of this and say there is no help, but I'm going to say, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer that. I will lift up mine eyes. Hallelujah. The King of Chaos. Brother Marshall, I've got chaos in my life. Forget the pandemic or plandemic or whatever it is. God, there's chaos in my life. Yes, we all have chaos. Everybody in this building has got some chaos. It might be health. It might be finances. It might be a marriage. It might be children. There is going to be chaos, but my chaos is not going to affect my relation or should not affect my relationship with God. Why? Because He never changes. Come on, I need somebody to wave your hand. I need somebody just kind of help me out a little bit here today. I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm not going to let this derail me. You see, right now, we're in America, the church is, we're more concerned about being liked than we are about being right. I told Pastor, we were talking, and I kind of just mentioned off the cuff, America used to be the police of the world. Hello? Now we're the ATM of the world. And that's not going to change chaos. That's going to only increase. It's going to become toxic charity type thing. It becomes a very toxic thing. But I cannot let what happens out there affect what happens in here. Oh, come on, I'm helping somebody here today. Let the world be the world, and let God be God. Let the world do what the world does. The world turns to alcohol and drugs and all sorts of things. But let the church be the church, that the church comes in and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. That when we come in, that we feel the presence of God and that we change the world around us. Brother Staten, the story was told to me just recently. In fact, there were a couple of versions of it. Brother Staten that lives up in D.C., And I called his son, or actually sent him a text, and I said, "Hey, bro," I said, "I heard this story about your dad, such and such." And he said, well, that's not exactly how it happened. And so he told me this story. He said his dad was standing at a Starbucks, and a lady walked in. The original story was that he opened the door, and a very powerful lady in Washington, D.C., whose name is on the news almost every day, that she walked in and she looked at him and she said, "Oh, you think you're one of those people that will change the world one person at a time?" And he said, "As a matter of fact, yes, I am." And I'm sorry, that was the real story. And the original story was, she said, "I know who you are and I know what kind of people you are." He said, "I like your story better." But she looked at him and she said, "You think you can change the world one person at a time?" And he said, "Yes, I am. I do believe that." And ladies and gentlemen, I certainly believe that we can change our world. We may not change this whole world, but we can change our world around us if we reach out and bring somebody and get them to the house of the Lord. I would challenge every person in this building, if you want chaos to subside in your life, start being a soul winner like you have never been before. Some of the greatest soul winners are still sitting here in this building right now. But you've got to realize God brought me out, and a lot is going to be required out of me. Hello. You see, we've got to stop surviving and start thriving with God. There is a difference between the desert life and the promised land. There is a difference between life and the blessed life. There's a difference between I'm okay and then I'm more than a conqueror. Most of us have gotten to this place where we say, "Well, I'm okay. How are you doing today? I'm okay." No, it needs to be, "I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Come on, I don't have just a blessed life. I've got blessed life. I'm not just full, I'm overflowing." Come on, can you say that right now? I'm not just full, I'm overflowing. I'm not just making it, I'm conquering it. I am not just existing, but I'm shining. And this is not just rhetoric, this is action. It's a speaking faith, but I'm going to bear the fruit of it. Am I making sense at all today? Is that, come on, we've got to get out of the chaos mentality. I was, y'all pardon me, and I hope no one thinks I'm really rude. I have repented, sort of, over it. But, smile. I was at a certain place, and they were just, it was a public place, and they were being, I told them, I said, "You know what, this world," I was at a restaurant, okay, and I was down there with my family, and there was 12 of us, and we were wanting to sit at the table together. And she said, "Sir, I'm sorry, we can only put 6 people here and 6 people there." And I said, "Ma'am, I know y'all are doing what the governor said to do, and the mayor." I said, "I respect that." I said, "But people are stuck in stupid." She started laughing. She kind of looked at me and I said, "Yeah, they're just stuck in stupid. I didn't say you were stupid. I said, people are stuck in it because we're so concerned about what's dominating. The problem is dominating life right now. It's dominating. You want me to tell you what needs to dominate? To be honest with you, the church should be packed right now. Yes, amen. Come on, the church should be packed right now. Oh, please. Calm down, Tim. Calm down. The church should be packed. I should not be worried about everything. Listen, the flu is worse than anything else. I'm not minimizing. I've lost family to it. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was not born of a virgin, baptized in the Jordan, crucified on the cross, rose from the tomb, ascended to heaven so that you and I would just survive. No, absolutely not. He did that so we could be more than conquerors, so I could have life and life more abundantly. Come on. I get it. I go. That's what it's all about. Come on, I'm not looking for an easy way out. I'm not looking for a quick trip out of here, but I'm saying, God, I'm going to let you dominate the solution. You dominate all of this in the middle of my chaos. With my family situation, God, you are in control. With the loss that I've endured, you are in control. Come on, Jacob was zealous. He was on a mission. He wanted to have this birthright. He wanted to be blessed. He wanted more than everything. But chaos ended up just controlling everything. He accepted the scheme of his mother. He accepted the scheme of everybody else. There was family chaos. Let's look at Joseph for a few moments. He did not ask for the dreams. Hello? He didn't ask to be born. He did not ask to have the dreams. God, would you give me dreams? But God said, I trust you enough that I'm going to give you some dreams. And he gave him the dreams that the stars were bowing and the sheaves were bowing. And but he goes and tells his brothers, they laugh at him. They start hating him. He did not ask for it. He did not say, well, this is what I'm going to do. But God said, I'm going to create this chaos so that I can show my power, so that I can show how great I am. But I'm going to create the chaos because there needs to be a Savior at some point to save the people from the starvation. The famine. Am I making sense at all? God, why are you creating chaos in my life? Why are you creating chaos in my family? Because the chaos is the only thing that's going to draw you to the altar. Chaos is the only thing that's going to cause you to run to the altar. Because when everything is going great, guess what? We're all good. Nobody needs God when everything is going good. But when everything is going crazy, we run to church. We run to the altar. Or we should. We're supposed to be at all time. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy to help in time of need. Okay, I'm going to find an exit here somewhere. Joseph did not ask for the dreams, but God gave him the dreams. Joseph says, I may go through prison, but I'm not going to be a prisoner of my own circumstances. Our issue is that we accept these things and we become prisoners and we become identified by our problems. Have y'all ever seen somebody that goes around and it feels like all they have is a little dark cloud over them all the time? Who is it? Linus in Charlie Brown? Linus always has that little dark cloud over him all the time? Or is that Pigpen? It's Pigpen. Thank you. Yes. The truth comes out. Pigpen's got this little dark cloud that follows him all around. Now, it's supposed to be his smell, but that's how you identify. There was a chaos of temptation. There's a chaos of solitude. I so strongly believe that the enemy is doing everything he can to get the church to be in solitude and to be in isolation and to feel like we are helpless. Let's look at California. They're trying to stop churches and Pastor Art Hodges or Bishop Art Hodges is fighting that tooth and toenail. Thank God for men that'll stand up and say, we're going to have church regardless of what y'all say. I have a right to do this, a God-given right to come to church and to worship. Come on, follow the social distancing. That's fine, but it still should not stop me from having church in the house of God. Should not stop me from running the aisles. Shouldn't stop. I was preaching down in Texas, or in Houston, at a church, and I gave the altar call. This was back probably in June, mid-June, sometime, and the pastor told me, he said, you're the first evangelist that we've had this year. And so at the end of service, I said, I know the social distancing. I said, if you can stand, you know, two arm lengths away from each other, do the best you can. If you need the Holy Ghost, had nine people come up and line the front with that needed the Holy Ghost. I said, keep your mask on. I said, God can move through mask. I said, mask don't stop him. You know, problems don't stop him. Red Sea didn't stop him. The walls didn't. Are y'all following me? And God filled all nine people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Sunday morning. So masks are not going to stop God. And it should not stop us. Nestled away in the character and the spirit of the soul of Joseph, he has these unrealized dreams. Dreams that are impossible to be fulfilled. And yet his hope is still blooms in the dark space of the prison. Because he said, just because I'm in prison, that's not who I am. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Somewhere, even when they give him the coat, give Jacob the coat of Joseph, he says, Jacob, somewhere Jacob had to say, that's not the blood of my son. Because God had made some promises. Somewhere he has to have what it seems like sometimes when there's chaos, we have to realize and look at it from the point of God's point of view, or heaven's point of view, as the songwriter penned. We have to look at it from heaven's point of view. God, what are you trying to say? God was working to bring about the ultimate deliverance for him and his family with Joseph's situation. And I firmly believe that is what God is trying to do. He's wrapping this thing up. There's an exit ramp for this church, for the church. There's an exit ramp that God has already got planned. We're quickly approaching that exit ramp. And we're not, you know, we need to get as many people as we can in here. I'm not going to worry about chaos. I'm gonna walk. Is it okay for me to walk for just a little bit? Back in July, I went down to Mississippi to preach, and I preached a weekend in Mississippi and didn't have anything on the middle of the week, and instead of driving 6.5 hours home, I drove 2 hours over to Pensacola to stay with some family, Houston, Texas, where there's traffic, or Pensacola, where there's the beach. And nice seafood. I'm a smart guy, okay? 6.5 or 2. So I went to Pensacola. I got there and I was supposed to stay with my cousin, but some things were going on and situations in their lives, and I ended up staying at a hotel. And when I walked in the door of the hotel, sign said, please wear your mask in the wear a mask when you're inside the building. I said, it's no problem. Don't like doing it, but I did. And so I went in, and I was stayed there, and I felt, you know, this is a time for me to pray and fast and get a little away time, a little me time, because I've been preaching online and trying to stay busy in the middle of the pandemic. And so my next to the last night I was there, I walked in the back door, had parked in the back. That was the only parking space left, and I opened the door, and there were two ladies, a white lady and an African American lady, and they were holding binders up under their arms, the 3-ring binders, and they didn't have a mask on, and it looked like they had been to one of the conference rooms and had a conference or something. And so I asked the lady, they had gotten on the elevator, and the sign said 2 people only to the elevator, and I said, ladies, are y'all following the signs of the CDC and 2 people only? She said, oh, no, we're with the CDC. You can get on with us. I'm telling you the truth. Internet world, whoever's watching, that's the truth. That's what they said. So I said, okay, I pulled my mask on, stuck it in my pocket. And I said, she said, oh, no, we're in a triangle. She said, we're more than 3 feet apart. 3 feet apart. I'm not lying. I promise you that's what she said. So we pushed the buttons and we went up to our rooms was going up to the floor, and one of the ladies got off the floor at the same floor I was staying on. And I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, you said you're with the CDC, right? She said, yes, sir. I said, tell me about this disease. Tell me what's going on. And she said, what do you want to know? I said, is it as bad as they say it is? She said, oh, sir, it's worse. Really? She said, it's been around since September of last year. I said, oh, my goodness. And I'm sorry. Sometimes my sarcasm kind of takes over. And I told people I speak three languages, English, tongues, and sarcasm, you know. And so I said, what's so bad about it? And the more she talked, the more she disputed her own words. After a while, her talking and not, you know, she said, "Oh, we don't know everything about it. We just don't understand everything." And finally, I stopped her and I said, "So you're saying y'all don't really know what you're doing?" She said, "Well, we're trying to figure." I said, "I understand." I said, "But ma'am, I'm a minister." I said, "I travel all over the place." And I said, "Let me tell you what you've done." I said, "Y'all at the CDC has caused fear in America and by proxy around the world." When I said that, she kind of stepped back like I'd smacked her. That wasn't my intentions, but she said, "I believe I heard a word from the Lord." I said, "Yes, ma'am, you did. And there's more of that where that came from." I said, "Y'all need to stop that. Y'all need to stop instilling fear." I said, "If you don't know, just say, 'We don't know.'" I said, "And then when you do know, come back and say, 'Hey, we figured it out.'" I said, "Because y'all are saying, 'No, don't take ibuprofen.' Then you say, 'Take ibuprofen.' Then you say this." I said, "Y'all don't know what you're doing. Just be quiet until you know. Say, 'We're trying to figure it out.'" She said, "If I need another word from the Lord, can I come knock on your door?" Well, I went and put the do not disturb sign on my door. I said, "If you want another word, just call me. We'll be all right with that." You see what I'm saying? And she said, we have a press conference tomorrow with the governor of Florida. And I said, "Ma'am, y'all need to stop this because it's fear." And this is where I'm bringing everything to a point. Fear has grabbed a hold of America and the world. But fear should not grab a hold of the church. Perfect love casteth out all fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. I just felt something in the Holy Ghost right there. I just felt something release off of people in this building that I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be, let's move beyond the pandemic. I don't want that to be just in our lives and everything that's going on in our life. God, what are you doing? I don't need to be afraid. God, I'm going to face tomorrow with confidence, knowing that you are already in tomorrow. You were there, God, before I ever woke up. You were already, come on, God, you didn't fall off the throne. You didn't knock your head. You didn't make a misstep. God is in control of it. So whatever you're going through, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, whatever you're going through, God knows who you are. He knows where you're at, and he is concerned about you. Come on, if he's worried about the sparrow that falls, if he's worried about every hair you have on your head, then he is concerned about the problems in your life. And so all you got to do is make him the king of chaos. I want to control everything. I want to fix this. No, there are some things you cannot fix. You have got to allow God to take care of it. And so you run to the altar and say, "God, I give it to you. I give it. I turn it over to you, because God, you are in control." Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to heaven right now? Come on, would you lift your hands to heaven? Hallelujah. God, I ask you right now. Come on, some people in this building, would you cry out to God? Would you stand with me this morning? Would you lift your voice to heaven strong, loud, and say, "God, come on, I think we need to pray and ask God to forgive us from the very beginning. God, forgive me of the way that I've responded to things in my life."
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, please lift your voice loud and strong. Would you please do that right now? Lift your voice and say, "God, forgive me of what I've done. God, forgive me of how I've handled these things. And forgive me of these situations, Lord, that I've allowed them to dominate my feelings, my emotions, my spirituality. I've allowed them to dominate all of it. But God, you are in control. You are powerful. You are wise. Oh, God.
Hallelujah, God,
your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are above my thoughts." Come on, would you lift your voice? Come on, everybody in this place. If you've never had the Holy Ghost, God wants to fill you with His Spirit today. Come on, let the King of Chaos step in the middle of your problem. Let the King step into the middle. Brother Marshall, is he really the King of Chaos? Does he cause it? No, but he said, "I'm going to be right there in the middle of it." Why is it that when things are going good, well, oh, he's the king. But for somebody to be a king, or for something to be a king, they have to reign supreme. They reign supreme. What they say goes. So I cannot have fear. I cannot doubt that God, I hope I've communicated this morning that he is the king of chaos. Brother Marshall, really? Of chaos? Yeah. Because he's the king of everything. If you feel comfortable in social distancing, come to the front. If you feel comfortable, I don't know what your normal protocol is, and I hope I'm not being out of line. But if you're comfortable, follow some social distancing. We don't want to. I try to do things right. But if you're comfortable, come stand down to the front. And would you lift your voice and say, God, now as we get ready for 2021, 2020's gone. I can't do anything about it. But God, I'm going to let you reign supreme. I'm going to let you, come on, go ahead. That's right. Now say, God, I want you to do something greater in my church, greater in my life than you have ever done before. I commit my way to you. I commit my life to you. I commit everything to you right now. Come on, would you pray? Would you talk to God in Jesus' name? Come on, would you pray? Would you talk to him right now? In Jesus' name,
miracles,
I praise you, Lord.
Can you move?
I praise you,
Such
Lord.
Such an easy thing
Hallelujah.
For you to
Hallelujah.
Do.